Well, I've got a question for you as we start today, as we continue our series on discipleship. I wonder what events would be in the category of unmissable for you. An unmissable event. What are the things you would put in your calendar and work everything else around? Well, my wife's sister got married at the start of 2022. And when they announced the date for their wedding, it was a Friday that they'd announced. And it was at this, towards the start of February. And we realized that it was going to be around the time that Elijah was meant to be starting school. He's our eldest. He was meant to be starting kindergarten on that near that date. We didn't quite know the exact date yet because the school hadn't let us know yet. But obviously, our first kid off to school, we were looking forward to Elijah starting. We were hoping that these events wouldn't clash. But we found out from the school a few weeks out from the date that Elijah's first day of school, first full day after days of orientation, was going to be on the exact same day as my wife's sister's wedding. And so we had to make a choice, didn't we? Well, in reality, we'd already kind of made the choice. We committed to my wife's sister's wedding. And this was the kind of event that we wouldn't miss. You know, this was an unmissable event. But the sad fact of that was that it meant missing Elijah's first day of school. Two important events, but one really was unmissable. And so we went to Lily's sister's wedding and missed Elijah's first day. But he's had lots of fun at school since. Friends, if you're a Christian here this morning, is church an unmissable event for you? Is it something you would rearrange most other things in your life around? If not, what kind of things do you miss church for? Have a think about that for a moment. What kind of things do you miss church for? Now, my goal today is to persuade you from God's word that church, that our Sunday gathering, ought to be in that category of unmissable event in our thinking. The kind of event that we not only come to when we can, but that we order all our other activities around. Now, we're in the middle of this series on discipleship, where we're thinking about what it looks like to live the Christian life. And we began a few weeks ago with grace, with hope, which is the foundation, the A to Z of our Christian lives, the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness we have in him, the reconciliation with God that God's achieved for us in Jesus. And then the last 2 weeks, we've been thinking about how we relate to the God we're reconciled with. We listen to him as he speaks to us in his word, and we speak to him in prayer. That's how we relate to our God. And now we're going to think about church, gathering with God's family, and its importance for us as followers of Jesus. And I hope we'll leave today thinking of our gatherings as important, and not just important amongst many other important events, but as unmissable because of the glory of the gathering and the necessity of the gathering. They're kind of the two big points today if you're taking notes. The glory of the gathering and the necessity of the gathering. So let's think about the glory of the church. What is the church first? Now, this takes us back to a couple of years ago, if you were with us, when we did a series on the church. We use the term church in all sorts of ways, don't we? Sometimes we mean the church as an institution. We might talk about the Anglican Church of Australia. We might refer to the building, our new building, as the church. You know, we might say, let's meet at the church later this week. Or we talk about all God's people throughout history. That's the church. Often we mean When we say, let's go to church, we mean a particular service, don't we, that we attend. But how does the New Testament use the word church? Well, the Greek word that we translate as church in our Bibles actually means gathering. It means gathering. That's the heart of its meaning in the New Testament. A church is a gathering of people, an assembly of people. And the first thing to note here is that when you come to trust in Jesus, you are brought into a gathering, a quite extraordinary spiritual gathering. A gathering happening right now, Hebrews 12 says, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12 says this. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, a festive gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn whose names have been written in heaven, to a judge who is God of all, to the spirits of righteous people made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which says better things than the blood of Abel. This passage speaks of a gathering happening right now in the heavenly places. It says, you have come to this gathering. Not that you will come, you have come to the heavenly city of Jerusalem. You've been gathered there already in some mysterious way. Spiritually, you have come to the place where angels are joyfully gathered in worship. You have come, verse 23 says, to the assembly. That's the word for church. You've come to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. In other words, you've come to the church of all believers throughout history, gathered spiritually in the heavenly places. This is a gathering around God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 2 puts it like this. It says that God also raised us up with Jesus and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Here is the glorious reality of the church. God's people, past and present, right now, spiritually gathered in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God, by his Spirit, brings us into this heavenly gathering when we trust in Christ. And so coming to Christ means we are part of this gathering, this church. And do you see what that means? It means that gathering with other believers is the most natural thing for us to do as Christians, isn't it? Because of what's already happened to us. We're already gathered spiritually in Christ Jesus. And that's why we gather in church today. That's why you might feel drawn to come to church, feel the pull to come to church, feel like you need to gather with other believers. It's part of your spiritual DNA. If you're in Christ, if you're a Christian, all Christians are part of this heavenly gathering. And that heavenly gathering is expressed now in the physical gatherings of believers in particular places, local churches. And this is how the word church is used mostly in the New Testament, to refer to these local gatherings of believers. So when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he speaks of the church of God at Corinth. And then in chapter 11, he says, when you come together as a church, when you come together as a church, he expects these Corinthian believers to come together, not just in twos or threes or small households. No, those kind of gatherings are good as well. But in public, as a bigger group. Because as these Corinthian believers come together, they express something glorious. They put on display what's happening right now in the heavenly places. They enact it, that gathering. Now, it's a bit like when a group of students represents their school on the sporting field. Has anyone done that recently? Any of our youth? I'm sure you have. Yes. Yes, I can see that. Now, when you play for your school on the sporting field, when you gather with other members of your school and play as a team, you're not just from the school, are you? You are the school. You're Mount Annan High, playing against Elderslie High. You know, each smaller group of students represents the whole. That's what a local church does when it gathers. It represents that heavenly gathering. And that makes it glorious. Now, it's not often outwardly impressive. Certainly not here at Narellan. I mean, we've got a pretty impressive building, but we're not a particularly impressive bunch of people. We don't put on a very slick production here. We're ordinary people, aren't we? Very different from one another, different ages, different backgrounds. And the things we do together look fairly ordinary, and maybe if you're here for the first time, maybe they even look a bit weird. But what elevates this gathering from any other, what makes this gathering glorious, is that it's an expression of that spiritual gathering in Christ in the heavenly places. We are those who've been brought to faith in Jesus, who've been brought together by God's power. And we meet because of what God's done for us in Jesus. And as we meet, we're expressing that spiritual gathering in a miniature form. And what a glorious thing that is. Who would want to miss that? Well, we so often do, don't we? We do miss it regularly. So many of us, in fact, arrange our lives so that we miss church regularly. And this is a big issue, not only because of how glorious the church is, but also because of its necessity for us. Its necessity, the necessity of the church. That's the next point. I want to suggest here that gathering with God's people is not just a glorious optional extra for the Christian life, but it's absolutely essential for us as disciples of Jesus. Now, you might have some Protestant alarm bells going off in your mind at the moment, because we're saved by grace, aren't we? It's grace that we're saved. That's what our salvation rests on, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. That's how we become part of God's people. And that's absolutely true. But you know what the Bible says at the very same time? That church is essential for us as disciples. It says both things. Salvation is by grace alone, but that church is essential, necessary for us as disciples. And 1 Corinthians 12 shows us why this is the case, that passage that Pam read for us. The reason church is essential for us is because we need one another in order to grow and persevere as disciples. We need one another in order to grow and persevere. And so Paul teaches in this chapter, chapter 12, that God gives different gifts to different believers, and that these gifts are given for the common good. They're given by the Spirit for the common good. And later in chapter 14, Paul says that the purpose of the gathering, says whenever you come together, everything is to be done for building up. So each believer, Paul says, has an important role to play when the church comes together in building one another up. And so Paul uses that famous image of the body. The body. A body is made up of different parts, isn't it? Whether an eye, an ear, a foot, a hand. Each of these parts has an important role to play for the sake of the whole body. A body needs these different parts. It's actually not going to work if it's all eye or all ear, is it? That's what Paul says, and it's a ludicrous image. In verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We need one another as God's people, just like a body needs all its parts for its well-being. We need one another if we're going to grow as disciples. You need me. I need you. That's how God has arranged things. And it might feel a bit odd to think this way because we're so used to thinking of ourselves as individuals, aren't we? Of our faith as my faith. Yeah. You've got your faith, I've got my faith. It's easy to think we can kind of follow Jesus on our own. That you can follow Jesus and not be even part of a church. But it's just not the case. God hasn't just saved us as individuals, he saved us into a body. That's what Paul says in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. That's who the Corinthians were. And that's who we are. Individual members of the body of Christ. The body of Christ here at Narellan, this local gathering of believers, reflecting that heavenly gathering and seeking to build one another up in Christ. But why do we need each other? Why do we need each other to grow? Well, this here is a picture of Mount Everest. Now, when I think of one of the most difficult and crazy things people ever could attempt in their lives, climbing Mount Everest would have to be one of those. Over 8,800 metres high, below zero temperatures. Apparently the air is so thin as you get towards the top, it's only got about 33% normal oxygen level, which makes every movement difficult. And that's why you do the climb with others. You do it with help. You go as part of a team, and you have local guides, the local peoples, the Sherpas, to help you. You have people carrying your equipment. You need other people in order to get to the top of Mount Everest. Now, there are people who've tried to do it on their own. You know, of the over 6,500 people now who've successfully climbed Mount Everest, how many have done it solo? Do you know? Only a couple, three, have done it solo. Three have successfully done it solo. And my guess is your chances of success would be better on Everest than in the Christian life to do it solo. The Bible's really clear that living the Christian life is hard. It is a difficult journey. It's not like being on a cruise ship. It's like climbing Mount Everest. It's so hard to keep trusting in Jesus in our world. It's hard to keep living for him when others reject us, when others laugh at us, hate us for following Jesus. If we're going to make it to the end, then we need to gather with other believers. We need that. We need the encouragement that the gathering brings. We need the benefit of the varied gifts that God has given by Spirit to his people. We need the preaching of the word that challenges, that rebukes, that reminds us of the gospel. We need the singing to one another that lifts our eyes and hearts to the Lord. We need the encouraging word from a friend after the service that keeps us going. The prayer after the service, the prayers of God's people throughout, the works of service we engage with one another. If we don't regularly gather, then there is real danger for us, Hebrews says. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. For if we deliberately go on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire about to consume the adversaries. We're not to neglect to gather together. Do you see that in verse 25? As some are in the habit of doing. It was a habit then, it's a habit now. Look at the reason why, though. Do you see in verse 26, the four? For if we deliberately go on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire about to consume the adversaries. So what does Hebrews connect not gathering together with? Hell. Yeah, becoming so hardened in sin that we're led away from Jesus. Carl Dienick, in his wonderful book, Gathered Together, which goes through some of this similar material, he puts it like this. Why is it important to go to church? Shockingly, here's the answer that Hebrews gives. So you don't go to hell. Not because church makes us right with God. Jesus' death and resurrection do that. But the church is God's instrument to keep us from turning away from Jesus. Do you see that careful distinction that he makes? Church is not necessary to make us right with God. That's so important for us to keep in mind. It's only by God's grace that we're saved, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But gathering with God's people is God's means to keep us from turning away from Jesus. We need each other. And the stakes are so high. And so in light of this, I want to challenge you this morning, if you're a Christian here, to make a commitment. I want you to make a really countercultural commitment in your heart and mind. And it might be one of the most important you ever make, apart from trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that is this. Commit to coming to church every single week for the rest of your life. Commit to coming to church every single week. Think of church as an unmissable event, like that of a family wedding, something you order the rest of your week around. Now, what will that mean in practice? Well, it's going to mean some sacrifice. It will mean missing out on some Sunday activities. It may mean missing out on some family gatherings. It may mean saying no to kids' sport that's the same time as the church gathering. Now, are there things we might still miss church for? Absolutely. You know, the rest of my family is at home at the moment. You know, Lily's taking care of some kids sick with COVID. So there will be reasons we miss church. But if we think of church as an unmissable event, then the list of reasons why we will miss church will be a lot shorter, won't it? Sickness or caring for a sick or dying family member. You know, we'll seek to work the smaller things around our gatherings. So we might have the grandkids for the weekend. Well, you can tell the parents that you've got church on Sunday, so they can come with you if they're happy with that. Or you've got a young kid that needs a nap at the same time as church. Well, you can give that a go in the pram. And even if it doesn't work, it is a good thing to be with God's people. The kids have a soccer game rescheduled for Sunday. Sorry, coach, but that's church for us. We'll be back next week. The Bucks parties all weekend. Sorry, guys, I've got to leave late Saturday night so I can be back for church, but I'll come for Saturday. Now, if you're a shift worker, I think you're in an especially hard position. But I know a number of shift workers who request to have Sundays off or parts of Sundays off so that they can come to church. Or they come to the evening service if they've been rostered on in the morning. It is possible to come to church regularly as a shift worker. Now, what if you're away on holidays? Well, if you're committed to gathering with God's people, then you'll find a local church, won't you, to meet in while you're on holidays if it falls on a Sunday. That's just what you'll do. It's because we're not committed to that we think holidays is a break from church as well. But I think it's so important for us to be gathering with God's people and doing so on holidays as well. It's especially important for me as a gospel minister because, you know, what am I communicating to my kids if I don't do that? If we take a break from church on Sunday because I'm on holidays, then I'm communicating to them that church is a job. It's not something that's so important for us. And so I want to model to them. We all ought to want to model to one another and especially to our kids the importance of gathering with God's people. It's glory and it's necessity. So would you commit to coming to church every single week? You're going to miss weeks. But you'll miss a lot less, won't you, if you make this kind of commitment. If church is no longer in that category of something you'll do if nothing else comes up. Commit to coming to church every single week. That's my challenge for you today. Because church is glorious. And it is essential for us if we want to grow and persevere as disciples of Jesus. So let me ask for God's help for us to do that. Heavenly Father, we so easily drift along with what our world does around us. I do. We all do here. Oh Lord, we pray you'd help us to be really countercultural today and for the rest of our lives. Help us to come and gather together every week. Help us to prioritize that for the sake of our brothers and sisters here, for the sake of our own spiritual health, so we don't get hearted in sin and fall away from our Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for the gift of church. Thank you for the gift of brothers and sisters who you've given so many gifts by your Spirit to help each of us to keep going in the faith, to persevere in the faith. So Lord, help us to see that today, see that afresh, and leave this morning with a greater desire and commitment to gather weekly with your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.